Scripture lesson this morning is from Mark 4, the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out in the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times."
Thank you. Good job. I'd like to ask Elder Ann if you would join me. We have a very special mission in the life of the church, and we need some help.
Yes. This is the week that we have signed up to serve dinners to the Martinez Family Shelter, and all of you have a wonderful opportunity to help us. There's a sign-up table. I know it's in the bulletin, but sometimes our eyes are blurred and we don't read well, evidently. So if you have to, you can help by serving or just bringing a donation of a food item, and it would be greatly appreciated by those of us who are doing the dinners as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Also, I found out today that Reverend Charles Tinsley, one of the missionaries that we support, who works as a chaplain in the prison, had a heart issue, I was told, and needs prayer for healing. And so let's pray. Lord, heal Reverend Charles and restore him to good health and raise up people who will serve the poor, the needy, the homeless, the hungry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about a parable that I know is familiar with you, but I want to share with you some insights that I think will be helpful and interesting to us. It's the parable of the four kinds of soil, and you know the basics of it. The rocky soil, the hard pan, there was the hard pan, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and then the good soil. And a parable, I'm sure you know this, is something that has a concrete application that's visible right here. It has a physical application, and yet it speaks of something else. It speaks of a heavenly meaning. Well, Jesus also used it in reverse order. He would take something complex and reduce it to a very concrete parable or story. In this case, he is by the lakeside, and perhaps he was in a place where there was a farmer who was reaching into a sack and casting seed out. And so he just picked up on that sight that was present for everybody. And he began to say, look at this guy over here. And he begins to comment the obvious. Some of the seed is falling on the pathway and doesn't have a chance. And then he goes through the parable. Just a couple of comments about that, because I want to read on. It says, it begins by saying that Jesus began to teach by the lakeside. He is no longer going to be in the synagogue. He has been pretty much rejected by the religious authorities of the day, and it's not safe for him to be there. And now people are coming to him by the lakeside. They don't have to come to this place. Now, there is some obligation to go to the synagogue, but there's no obligation to come here. And so people by choice are attending his lectures, his series, and he knows that he has to keep their interest. And so he tells stories. He tells these parables to get people to think about something even after the conversation is over. And then he starts off in verse 3, he says, listen. Now, in Western cultures, we listen to quite a bit. And a lot of it just figuratively goes in one ear and out the other ear. We don't pay much attention to it. In the Hebrew, it was an interesting word. It's this word that I have up on the whiteboard. One of our people cleaned this whiteboard. I can't imagine how they did it after I put permanent marker on it. But I didn't put the belt sander on it. You'll be pleased to hear. This is the word to listen to hear. It means kasav. This would eventually become our letter Q. But these letters in the ancient Hebrew are pictographs. These are pictures that would help self-define the word. For example, the word God, G-O-D, in the English language, that those letters do not self-define the word. In Hebrew, many of the words did offer valuable insights into the meaning of the word. And so it starts off with this letter, and this is the horizon, and you can see the sun coming up over the horizon. And it means that light is breaking in, that there's something to be seen. And this is the what would eventually become our, it looks like a W, but it's pronounced with a S sound. And these are teeth. You can see the pointed teeth. And it has a couple of meanings, several meanings. It can mean tearing apart like a tiger, ripping flesh apart, or it can mean just chewing, meditating like a cow chewing on some grain. And so to listen means, so far, it means that there is light breaking through, it's rising, coming up, and that we are to meditate on it, and that this last letter, it would eventually become our letter B. It sort of is pitched on its side right now. This is the horizon, and this is a Bedouin tent. And it means basically home or heart or place of warmth. And so to listen, when Jesus says, listen, he's not just saying, have your ears open to hear what I'm saying. He's saying, listen with the idea of obeying. Taking heed is one of the meanings of this word. And so when he's talking about this parable, he is saying, when he says listen, he is saying, there's light going to be coming into you, and I want you to consume it, I want you to chew on it, and I want you to take it to heart. I want you to take it home and live into it. Well, the passage goes on to say where Dave stopped, we need to read on. Jesus has this comment in verse 9. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, he's going to be repeating that here in just a few sentences, but he's going to have some consequences with it. But verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parable, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those who are outside, everything is in parables, so that they may ever be seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Well, this is a passage that is sort of loaded with issues and questions. Is he giving a parable so that only certain people will hear and understand, and yet somehow or another mask it from those people who are not intended to come to faith? It has those kind of questions as part of it. But he has this comment in there. He says, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. Now, folks, you and I, as followers of Christ, we have been given an alternative lifestyle, an alternative kingdom that we're a part of. We are Americans with one foot in the American culture, and we are absorbed into it. But those of us who are followers of Christ, we have another foot in another kingdom where there are a whole other set of rules. The relationships are different. The priorities, the affections, the goals are very different from the culture of the American kingdom. And so Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the secrets of the kingdom for you, but not for other people. And then in verse 13, he gets down to what he means by this parable. He says, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any parable? Okay, this is important. Jesus is saying that this parable is so foundational, so basic, that if you don't understand this one, you're not going to understand the others. This is the first and most important of all the parables. They're all important, but if you don't get this one, you will not get the others. So what does he have to say? What is he talking about? The farmer sows the word. We know that. Some people are like the seed along the path where they where the word is sown, but as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Now, folks, if you want to see the life of and the work and the ways of Satan, you're going to see it today. You're going to see it as soon as we're finished today, because as the word is being spoken, seeds are being planted, and if you and I leave today and we just sort of it just sort of goes over our head and we don't even think about it. We don't try to apply it. Well, guess what? Jesus is saying that Satan has come and taken that word that was put in your heart and has taken it away. And so Satan is a very real player in this kingdom, interfacing not only in the kingdom of God, but also in the kingdom of this culture. And verse 16, others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But they have no root. They last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. You know, it's not hard, really, to move an audience to have an emotional response. But if the response then is not taken, if the seed is not then drilled down into the life when troubles come, and they do, then Jesus is saying that that root, that seed has not taken root, and it's going to be short-lived. Still other seeds are sown among the thorns, and they hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. In the previous comment, Jesus was saying that there are external forces that can minimize the word of God in your life, but there are internal forces also that can minimize the work of God in your life, and that is the pursuit of the things that the American culture says are important. And then he closes with this. Others, like the seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, and even 100 times what is sown. I'm asking you today and each Sunday for you to choose that when you come in here, that you open your heart, that you choose to receive the lesson that is being given to you. That when we pray, that you don't just read words, but that you earnestly say, Lord, I'm agreeing with this. These are my words too. They're printed words by somebody else, but they're my words too. It's what I believe. And when we sing, let us not just follow the notes of the that is scored on the page. But let us let the message of that song have an impact in your life and mine. Studies have been done, by the way, this is something of an aside, studies have been done that 70% of all theology that a person learns is learned through song, through music, through hymns. And so that's why it has been said that that we have a singing religion. You'll notice that in other religions, some of the main other religions of the world, they do not sing. In fact, there are some that do not permit singing. I want to go on to talk about something here, and that is Jesus has what looks like a diversion in verse 21. He says, he's talking about these seeds and the four kind of soils and the responses to them. And then he says to them, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, you put it on a stand, don't you? And whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. Now, before I read the next sentence, folks, if this verse were ever true, isn't it true today? These candidates, all their emails, they're just being put out there. And Jesus is right. Whatever is disclosed, whatever is concealed, will be brought out into the open. And then he says this statement again. He repeats it. He says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Now, often this comment is taken to mean financial, economic, money kind of issues. It says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. You know, we have the haves and the have-nots. Well, that expression comes from this verse. But Jesus is not talking about money. He's talking about the ability to listen, the ability to hear, the ability to spot those things that are the Word of God. Let them be planted in your life and mine, and let them take root and bear fruit. Well, let me give you two examples. Yesterday, Judy and I had a delightful morning and, well, afternoon with the Mary Max. It's one of the larger groups in the church. Several, many of you were part of it. We went over to Mare Island and then went to lunch afterwards. And it was a fascinating excursion. The mistake I made was listening to Siri. You know Siri? Okay. So I punched in the address, and I was correct. I copied it right out of the page that had the instructions, the directions, and I copied it in here, pasted it in here, and then hit the route button so it would take us. Well, it took us to Napa, and we were in this valley somewhere, and there were thousands of acres of hay and cows on the field. And jokingly, Siri said, you have arrived at your destination. And I said to Judy, this doesn't look like Mare Island. I wonder where everybody is, I said jokingly. I mean, nobody was there. We were there by ourselves in the middle of a hay field. And so I quickly called Bill and said, hey, we're hopelessly late. And wouldn't you know, but I only had 10% juice left in here. And I just punched in there real quickly, Mare Island, and it routed us back to the place. And we found the people at a church, the base chapel, which was a wonderful, fascinating experience. If you ever get to see the chapel at Mare Island, it has the largest collection of Tiffany stained glass windows west of the Mississippi. What was it, 25 or 26 of them? And they're just priceless works of art. And I noticed that when we were having lunch, that there was a lot of chatter, a lot of fellowship going on, people really enjoying themselves, just like you were at the beginning of the service. You're all just sort of chatting, carrying on and talking to each other. You guys like each other, by the way. I've been in some churches where it is, I mean, you have to put your coat on to come inside because, you know, the relationships are just cold. The conservatives are on this side, the liberals are on that side, and the fighting has been going on. That's not true for you. You all like each other. And in that atmosphere, we can hear the voice of God. This lesson today is about listening. And if you want to hear the voice of God, I want to urge you, please, join one of the small groups coming up. We're going to have sign-ups in the fellowship hall, and they're at different times, different places, but the same study. We're going to be studying this fellow named Francis Chan, who writes this book about crazy love. We're going to have videos with it. And here's what I'm promising to you, that as you go through these, it's just 8 weeks, you can do this. As you're studying the passage, listening to the video, then listening to each other, you're going to hear the voice of God. You will. I can promise that to you. When I meet with the elders, and we're going to meet again this next Tuesday, I'm going to begin the meeting with a prayer, and it's been something that I've prayed for years and years and years. I say these words. I say, Lord, as we listen to each other, help us to hear the voice of God. Help us to hear your voice. And I have found that to be just true time and time and time again, that we as people, when we get together and we're talking about substantive things, we talk about an issue or a problem or an opportunity or something, that when we have enough conversation, we can hear the voice of God. And when the elders, I can't remember in just ordinary business when the elders have had a divided vote, because they begin to listen to each other and they can hear the voice of God speaking. It becomes pretty obvious to us. It's hard to explain, but you can have the same experience in the small groups that you attend. And I urge you to be a part of that. I was riding with a police sergeant a while ago. His name is Sergeant Jason Perry. Good guy. And we got called out to a house where two drug dealers were in a dispute. And we had to mediate the drug issue. And, you know, and I thought, wow, what? Are we going to become dealers here or something? And other officers showed up, and we separated the parties, and we were talking to this one fellow. And Jason, Sergeant Perry, said to this fellow, he said, tell me what went down. And he had his recorder on. He asked for permission, and he recorded the conversation. And he just let the guy speak. He went on for about 7 or 8 minutes, and then he said, that's it. Jason then asked him a couple of questions to clarify some things. And afterwards, I asked him, why did you just let him speak? And he said, well, he says, you can always tell an inexperienced investigator or detective because they will interrupt the person's story with questions, and they will... studies have been done among police officers that they will ask a question every 7 seconds, which hardly gives the person the opportunity to put a string of thoughts together or to tell a complete coherent story. He said what he does is he lets the person tell their whole story, and then at the end, he will ask questions to fill in the missing gaps or the inconsistencies that the guy has had. And it was a lesson to me as a pastor that when people talk to me, I just need to listen. Just let them speak. Let me be attentive to what they're saying. And especially, and you've heard me speak about this on other occasions, especially to listen to the human cry, to listen to that part inside the person that is in distress or troubled or anxious or worried or fearful. And then to ask the question, when you spot that, to ask a follow-up question, something as simple as, can you tell me more? I'm interested. I'd like to hear more about that. And when you say that, it indicates and it proves that you're listening to them, that you're interested. And they will share with you more of the story. Now, most of us feel a little bit of discomfort when someone starts telling us of some troubling episode. But in the kingdom, we care. It's important for us to listen to each other. And so I want to encourage you this next week, as you're having a conversation with somebody, you will have occasion where you will spot the times when they will express something of concern. And let me give you a dead giveaway. This is physiologically just true. Whenever a person sighs, you know what a sigh is? Well, okay. That's an open door. That's a clue that there's a human cry underneath that comment, that there's a story underneath there where they're struggling. And what you and I want to do is to hear the story, at least to hear it, and hopefully to say, I'm going to pray for you. I wish I could do something, but I'm going to pray for you and ask God to help with that situation. Okay, so that's the lesson for today. The cover story, the cover picture, is a cute little picture that Anne, our director of First Impressions, had this picture of these two little girls, you know, with the tin cans and the string in between. My memory is that you had to have the string taut, but I'm sure they could overhear each other being sort of back-to-back. I'm not sure that blonde is a girl. Maybe it's a boy. Well, he's got blue on, so it's a boy. I'm going to pray a blessing on us and ask God to give us ears to hear. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have the ears to hear the cry of our hearts. You listen to us. You don't interrupt us. We can pour our hearts out. We can lament. We can cry. We can even express feelings of anger and disappointment. Lord, I'm asking that you would give us those kind of ears. Ears to hear deeply. Ears to hear carefully. Ears that will not be obstructed by trying to think of what next to say, or trying to find an answer to whatever they're talking about. Lord, give us ears to hear each other and to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.